All right, you guys can be seated, kids. All the way through fifth grade, you can head on back. If you're out of fifth grade, you get to hang out here with me, but everybody under fifth grade, head on to the back. All right, how we doing this morning? Good? Got the start of school hangover going? I do. I think I've got the Olympic hangover going. This staying up till midnight watching the Olympics is, it's about to kill me, I think. You'd think I'd feel rested and ready jumping up here after not preaching for 2 weeks, but I feel a little bit rusty. I told you this morning's going to be a little different for us. If you're a visitor here, welcome. Glad you guys are here. I think this will be a little bit of a different Sunday than you're used to for a church, because this is going to be more of a talk and kind of, like I said, a family meeting, less of a sermon. Going to have a very different feel than what we normally do. You are going to need at some point to have all this stuff that I told you about should all be back there on the table. So you want to make sure that at least one per family will have one of those packets to go through. And if we run out of those, then there's probably some more out front. But before we get into the sermon, I want you guys to see a video that Trib made for us. Trib, if you guys follow him on Facebook or Instagram, is a crazy talented guy with the camera and has been doing some great video production stuff for us. And he's put together a video that we're still going to be working on just a little bit to put on our website, but it's going to be kind of a welcome video, this is who Providence is type of video. And so we'll put some voiceover on it, and so this won't be the finished product, but I want you guys to see this video because it gives a glimpse into what Providence is all about, and maybe even a little, you'll see a few snippets of some things that will be coming in the next few weeks. But it's a good way to start this message, sermon, talk, whatever you want to call it. It's a good way to start it because, like I said, it gives a picture of who Providence is. And really, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you guys want to go ahead and show that first video for us. So I wanted to show that video. You guys should have recognized a face or two in there. Some of those are videos are a year or two old, so make a little bit of a time capsule there when you see some of that stuff. But I wanted to show you that video because that video gives a great look into who Providence is, okay? You work hard, you play hard, you worship well. That's a little bit of what we got there. So we've got our discipleship groups that are pictured there. We got our Sunday morning gatherings that are pictured there. We've got what we do, you know, here when we're singing, but also when we're serving with worship serve, and then how we party and have a little bit of fun too. I think it's a good mix that really kind of summarizes who we are as a church. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is a little bit about who we are as a church and a little bit about where we're going as a church. What's going to define us? We're in this series called This Is My Story. And the idea behind this series is that we get to tell stories, but what we're going to do that's a little bit different is we're telling stories from Scripture, absolutely, because those will inform us and those will shape us. But we're also going to tell your story. We're going to tell stories from people that are around you, that are sitting near you. And so some of the Sunday mornings may look a little bit different for us because we can look and see what God has done in the past in Scripture, and we should do that, and that will inform us and lead us and guide us. But we're also going to see what God is doing now. The reality is, as I look out here, I see stories all over the place. As a pastor, that's a privilege that I have to get to know so many of these stories. But you don't know all of those stories, and you don't know what all God has been doing, and so I'm excited to get to share those. So that's two different ways that we're going to approach this series, to look at stories from people among you, to look at stories from people in Scripture, and then what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the story of us, the story of Providence Church. What story are we telling as a church? And so we're going to walk through a few different things and try to define that story just a little bit this morning. I don't know, have you guys been watching the Olympics? Is there anybody that's like an Olympic hater? Not just like you don't watch the Olympics, but like you have, like it makes you mad that other people enjoy watching badminton once every 4 years. We got any of those people? Good, because we're going to talk about the Olympics just a little bit this morning. I never have understood those people, why they get so frustrated that I enjoy watching water polo once every 4 years. But those people definitely exist. How many of you are like me, that like you find yourself at 11:30 at night watching handball between Croatia and Russia or something like that, right? All right, so that's, you guys are with me on that one. I love the Olympics. I love being able to watch it. Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics. I've got my sports, which, by the way, going back to handball, that was my sport. That was my chance to get into the Olympics. I was never going to be a swimmer, never going to beat Usain Bolt, right? I could have done handball. I could have done that. I'd pull something if I tried to do it now, but I could have done that. Like in college, I don't know where the handball team gets together, but I totally missed my calling on that one. That was my chance to be in the Olympics. I couldn't have done badminton. I wouldn't have been able to do that one, but handball I could have pulled off. But anyways, that's just for me to make myself feel better when I watch everybody else doing things that I could never achieve. But every day that I watch it, I get a little more into it. You know, I started out at the very beginning just like, okay, this is good. And then this happens every time as it goes on, I get more and more into it. Yesterday, I'm watching the 10K, Usain Bolt. He'll be running, I think, tonight as well. And I'm just into all of it. And to me, it's just fun. But I think what makes the Olympics so great, and there's a lot of parts that I really enjoy, but I think what makes it so great for so many is the stories that are told through each of the lives that are there. It's so much more than a race or a swim or a dive. There's so much more than a judge's score or how fast you can go on a bike. It's the years that these athletes have devoted to this one thing. The sacrifices that have been made, the friends and family that came alongside them to support them, to get them to this place, to do this one thing at this one moment in their life. To me, there's something so compelling about that. And I know it's just sports, and I know that you have absolutely no idea who won the 100-meter dash in 1968. Like, I know you don't know who that is, but does anybody know that? I just threw that out there. Does anybody know who that is? No, see, you don't know who that is. So you've forgotten that name. You don't know who that person is. But, and so in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But the stories that are represented is the things that mean so much and that is so good. And really, that's the heart behind the series that we're in right now. The recognition that it's the story that moves us. The story that should drive us and change us in some way. See, I don't know that a story of an Olympic gymnast should change us. Maybe it can move us a little bit. Maybe it can make you cry. But I don't know if it should change us. But the stories in Scripture and the stories of what God is doing, that should fundamentally change who we are. And so that's the heart behind the series. Some stories are big, some are small, but they all should teach us. When God started to kind of press this series on my heart, it was clear that God wanted to do something different for us in these few months. We've been in Matthew for a while, learning a ton. I love going through books of the Bible that way, but we needed to stop for just a minute and look at things just a little bit different. God had something in store for us during this time. And so I knew going in this series was going to be a little bit different for us. And honestly, it's intentionally open-ended. I don't know how long this will go. I don't know if we'll finish this up sometime in the middle of September or if we'll take this thing all the way to Christmas. I really don't know. It just depends on how God leads us. We'll get back to Matthew. Don't worry about that. And we'll get back into it eventually because there's a ton that we can dig into, but there's a lot of stories that God has kind of put before me that I know that we need to study. So for now, God has us here. And as I prayed throughout why the Holy Spirit would lead me in this direction for our series and just ask God, show me why we're here now, it became clear that God was kind of positioning us as a church in a very strategic and kind of unique place. Where we are right now as a church, I hope you don't miss this. You only get to start once. You know the old adage, you only have one time to make a first impression? You know how that works? Well, this is true for us. I know we've been doing this for a long time. Some of you guys feel like you've been setting up chairs for decades. Some of you may have been setting up chairs for decades, but you feel like you've been doing this forever. But where we are right now is kind of a new start. It's a new place. Chris got to deliver last week the first sermon in the history of Providence Church, as we are a new church. So for some of you guys, you look at what happened a few weeks ago when we voted to be independent, to be autonomous, as no big deal. And that's good. We designed it to be that way. We designed it to work that way so that it's a smooth transition. And I hope that it is. And so in some ways, you won't see anything different. What we're doing right here is no different than what we were doing 4 weeks ago. But in other ways, it is very different. What we've done over the last few weeks, I think, really summarizes who we are as a church, from worship serve to pool parties to baptisms and the stories that are all involved in there, to Chris and I being able to deliver donuts to schools and coffees to schools, to what you guys have been doing in your own schools and things in the last few weeks. This is who we are as a church. And so Al and I were in Knoxville last week to celebrate that, how far God has brought us, and what we feel like God is doing here at Providence. It was a good morning to be able to tell them thank you for what they've done and how they've supported us and how we still need their support. But I've been ready to get back here with you guys. Been ready to get back here with you guys and really just kind of be together as a family and be able to talk through some of this stuff. I mean, this is the same Providence Church, but it's really not. It's the same church, kind of. And it's the kind of that I really want to address this morning. You see, during this series, we want to look at these different stories from Scripture, but we also want to be able to tell our story well. And this morning, I want to look at the story of Providence. So what is the story of Providence? In a lot of ways, our story has not been written yet. We're writing that chapter today. Maybe the first chapter has been written. Maybe it's just the foreword that's been written, the introduction that has been laid out there. And we are beginning to write our story now. What is the story that's being told about our church? And what is the enduring story that will be told about our church in the end? I know Chris last week looked at Revelation and looked at the story of the church of Ephesus, and we got to see their story, and now we want to ask the same thing. What will be our story? And right now is the time to ask this question as we begin this new life. About 6 years ago, this journey began. About 6 years ago, this journey began when Al called Providence and said, "Hey, we're in a bit of a spot. I've been left here as the only elder. The church that was here has begun to dwindle a little bit, and the finances have dwindled." Al contacted Providence, and Providence says, "Okay, let's do this." And then the last 5 years has been a process of basically establishing what you see before you, a skeleton of a church, a skeleton of a structure that we can then build on. We had no idea how long that would take. We had no idea how long it would take to build that structure. But now we find ourselves here. And a couple weeks ago, you voted to say, "Here we are." We are now in this place. And in a lot of ways, it feels like we reached a finish line. But I don't think that's the right way to look at this. Right now in the Olympics, I'm pretty sure it's right now in the Olympics, they are running the women's marathon in Rio. That's what's going on. I'm almost certain that's today. I like to watch marathons, which is kind of weird because they're really long and there's nothing but people just running. So there's not a whole lot to it. It's not like watching a whole lot of strategy unfold, although there is some. But they're running 26.2 miles in just a little over 2 hours, which is kind of crazy, because it feels like it takes me that long to drive 26.2 miles. But they're going to run 26.2 miles in this marathon. And the thing is, I know a little something about running a marathon. Some of you guys may be looking at me like, "I don't think you know anything about running a marathon unless you've watched a lot of marathons on TV. Well, here's the thing. I know a lot about running a marathon because my wife has run a marathon, right? So when Isaiah was born, she kind of had this crazy idea just about a month after he was born that she was going to run a marathon. And so she sought one out, found one that was in Columbus, Ohio in October, a year away, and said, "I'm running that marathon." So the year, like right after Isaiah was born, she started to do this. And so she said, listen, I'm going to need all the help I can get. I need you to help me out. Let's do this. So we got out training plans and started looking out how this works, because this is not a world either one of us had ever been in, this whole running world, which it's a whole nother world for sure. And so she started looking at stuff, and we started looking at training plans. And we were a little surprised when we started looking at those training plans, because the training plan for a marathon is not what you would expect. If you're going to train to run a 5K, how far do you think you need to run to train for a 5K? At least 5K, right? Probably a little bit extra just to make sure you can push yourself a little bit more. And if you're going to train for a 10K, you do the same. It doesn't work that way for a marathon. When we started looking at the stuff in the, or the training schedules, the way that it worked is you would do these shorter runs during the week. Of course, they were like 7-8 miles, so call that shorter if you want. But you would do these shorter runs during the week, and then on the weekend you would do the long run. Well, the long run starts out, you know, you kind of start out and you build up, and it goes to 10 and then 11 miles and then 12. But if you watch the training plan, every single training plan without exception, somewhere between 19 and 21 miles, it stops. That's how far you train for a marathon. Once you get to somewhere around that 20-mile mark, your long run no longer, you don't do anything longer than that in your training for a marathon. And so we were a little baffled by that. Like, that seems crazy. But the reason why is because it's really taxing. It's really hard on your body. And there's a lot of different reasons why they stopped there. But that meant the day of the race, the day Emily was going to run her marathon, she had never actually run the distance of a marathon. She'd never done it before. Really, she was still 6 miles short, which I guess in the grand scheme of things is not that much, but that still seems like a lot to me. And so she was still short of the full amount. So are you tracking with me there? Like, she had ran 20 miles in her longest run, but she had never ran 26.2. So when it came time for her to step up to the line, which I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, the cover band, they had a cover band that was there, was playing Highway to Hell right before it started. So that's not encouraging at all. But that's what they had planned. So, but when she steps up to the line to be able to run, she has to run a distance she's never done before. I think that parallels where we sit as a church right now. What we've been doing over the last 5 or 6 years is just training. We've been preparing ourselves for this moment. What happened a couple of weeks ago was not a finish line for us. It was just the very beginning of our race. And so now we've taken a couple of steps. But we have a full race ahead of us. We've trained, but we've never actually run the full distance. We've never actually done the full thing. But now we begin. Our race has begun. That is where we sit right now as a church. We have not reached the finish, but we've just begun. And so the question before us is basically, what will this race look like? What will this race look like? What story will we tell as a church? As we go forward and as we move forward, what will be the legacy that we leave in this community? What will be the impact that we have that's bigger than some mulch and some bushes that are trimmed, but has an eternal impact? Now that we're independent and we've taken that step, now that our race has begun, the question that we have to ask is, what's next? What's next? Some of you guys are asking that question. You've asked me that question. What's next? You know that we've nominated elders and that's coming, but outside of that, what's next for us as a church? This morning, I hope that we can answer that. In a lot of ways, nothing really changes. Our mission is still the same. The same as the day that we started, to glorify God by making, growing, and unleashing disciples of Jesus Christ. That is our mission. Nothing escapes that. You guys should have this booklet here. I'll encourage you to be flipping through it some. If you just open up the first couple pages here, you will see this, our mission and our vision. Let me just say, this has only been out to a couple of folks that have gone through our intro class. I guarantee you there's typos in here. So if you find them, let me know so I can fix it. But I want you guys to have that to be able to look at it and to be able to see it, okay? To be able to go through it. Some of you guys went through an Intro to Providence class 6 years ago, and it's been a while. So it's a good time to stop and refresh. Others of you just went through it a couple weeks ago, in which case, welcome to Intro to Providence. And we're going to go through a little bit of this. Now, we're not going to walk through this whole booklet, but I want you to see some of this. I want you to see some of who we are and a good reminder for us that this is who we are. So our mission encapsulates everything that we do as a church. It encapsulates what we are at Providence. Everything moves to that goal, from how we teach the Bible here on Sunday mornings to how we teach our kids back there on Sunday mornings to how we live it out in the community through the Love Jeffco initiative. Everything goes back to this. The mission doesn't change for us. Our vision, I don't know that we've articulated it quite this way, but our vision is that, and when you hear vision, I want you to think of it this way. The word vision, when we talk about our vision statement, don't get too hung up on all that stuff, but the vision of Providence is basically what we want, what our hope is. When you think of Providence, this is the image that comes to your mind. That's where we want to be. That's our vision for the type of church that we want to be, okay? So when you hear, this is our vision, this is what we mean by that. A snapshot of what Providence looks like as a church. Our vision is to be a church built on God's word, united by genuine relationships, and committed to strategic, selfless service and mission, all to the glory of God. And I don't expect you to memorize that. I hope that you know our mission statement. I hope that you know that well. I don't expect you to memorize that vision statement, but I want you to know that that's who we want to be. When you say, what does Providence want to look like 5 years from now? What's your five-year goal? This is who we want to be. We want to be a church that's built on God's word, that's united by genuine relationships, and committed to strategic, selfless service and mission. Now, we articulate that in a shorthand way that I do hope that you know. And the shorthand way that we articulate that is Front Porch Community, biblical teaching, and strategic service. There are three environments that we really push. That talks about discipleship groups there, but those three things, you hear us talk about them all the time. Those three things, Front Porch Community, biblical teaching, and strategic service. You see that on some of our signs. That's how we articulate our vision. Hopefully those three things kind of stick in your head. What our hope is that we can say is, this is who Providence is. This is who Providence is, and this is the vision of what we want to be, a church built around those three things. I hope that's a big enough picture for you to get the idea of what we're talking about. And what's interesting is whenever you start talking around this, you start or looking at this, is really what this is all built around. You see, The quick thing to go to, and some of you guys have asked me this question, we've talked about this in elders meetings quite a bit, is we start asking this question. And it's a question that I think is a good question to a point, but it can get us off track just a little bit. You ask this question, I've been asked, well, I understand that, I get the vision, I get the mission, that sounds great, but what kind of person is Providence for? What kind of person is Providence really built for? Are we looking for people that have been Christians for a long time and just need a new church because they're not getting fed at their church? Are we looking for new Christians that are looking to grow? Are we looking for college students? Are we looking for non-Christians, people that have maybe not been to church for a long time, or people that have never been to church and know nothing about Jesus, or people that have been down on their luck? What kind of person fits for Providence? And we start asking the question, should we be organizing our church around these things and around these ideas? And here's the thing, guys. I've never felt like it's particularly helpful or biblical to build things like that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do it that way, but I'm saying it's not all that helpful for us to be able to say, who's the target audience for this church? For us, our mission is built around discipleship. And here's what I know to be true. People that have been Christians for a long time need discipleship. People that have been Christians for just a few weeks need discipleship. Non-Christians that know nothing about Jesus need to be discipled and taught about who Jesus is. The same gospel that the old Christian needs and the new Christian and the non-Christian, the same gospel is for all of them. So when you ask the question, who is Providence for? Providence is for everyone who needs the gospel. Now, maybe that sounds too general. Maybe that sounds a little too, you know, open-ended. That is the call that we've been given. It doesn't say in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all who are just like you. It doesn't say go and make disciples of all the Jews that are similar to you, disciples. It says go and make disciples of everyone. That is our call. And so for us to segment and say we're for this type of person misses the point and it undermines the power of the gospel. For us, discipleship is for everyone. So my response to the question, who's the target for your church? What type of person? My response is that the only name that goes on that banner is Jesus Christ. That's the target for our church. To glorify him by making disciples. The only banner we're going to wave is not that we're the church for the outcast, not that we're the church for the smart people or the dumb people, not that we're the church for the this or that. We are the church that wants to glorify Jesus Christ, and we want to do it by making disciples, by knowing Jesus and helping others to do the same. And what we hope to build here is so much more than a building. I want to address that up front because the reality is everyone has that question on some level. When you see our mission statement and our vision statement, what I want to really make sure that you see, that vision statement says that we want to be a church that is built on that is built on God's word, united by genuine relationships, and committed to strategic selfless service. You know what you do not see in that vision statement, that snapshot of who Providence is? You don't see anything about buildings, budgets, or bodies. Nothing. All those things are good. Would it be good to have a building? In a lot of ways, it would be fantastic. Just ask the setup team and the band. They would tell you it would be fantastic for us to have a building. They didn't have workout equipment where we normally are, right? That would be fantastic for us to have. That we could control the air conditioning so that it's not either 95 or 45 in the room, right? That would be great if we could do that. Would it be great to have a bigger budget so that we could do more things, we could buy nicer things, we could have this or that? Man, that would be so nice. So many things that we could do with that. Would it be nice for us to have more bodies? Absolutely. There's something about reaching kind of that critical mass that every family at this size of where we are, every family that becomes a part of Providence enables us to do just a little bit more, to care for each other just a little bit better. So yes, absolutely, it would be great to have all of those things. The problem is the church, especially the church here in the West, has been used those three things to define success as a church. That is not how we want to define success as a church. Now, this is hard, and I find myself fighting against this every single day. When everyone says, this is how you know if you're successful, how fast you're growing, how big you're getting, how big your budget is, and how big your buildings are, that determines, that shows how successful you are. The Bible says nothing about those markers of success. What the Bible says is if you're successful, you're making disciples. And if you're not making disciples, it doesn't matter how big your building is or how big your budget is. You're not successful. So our vision is built around discipleship and community and authenticity and serving others so that we can make disciples through those things. And Lord willing, all those other things will come. But they are not how we define success as a church. They are not how we define who we are. The reality is, if we wanted to have a building, we probably need to be, just numbers-wise, what Spencer has told us is that numbers-wise, we probably need to be at least twice the size of what we're at right now, budget-wise and people-wise. But even at that, it would be a struggle, because a building is not always a blessing. Because if you have a building, you have to take care of it. And it can be a hindrance on a lot of other things. It can be a hindrance on mission. It can be a hindrance on discipleship. It can be a tool for discipleship as well, but it can be a hindrance. So we have to be careful defining success by something like that. Our success is built on how well we make disciples. And so that's why we build everything around that. That's what our strategy is all about. The strategy that we have, and Matt, you can go to this, the next slide, the big slide that you probably aren't going to be able to read, that one. Yeah, you can't read that. That's in the back of this book, okay? So make sure that you take a look at that toward the back. The discipleship strategy, the Providence discipleship strategy, is back there in the back. I'm not going to walk you through all of this, but it's important that we touch base on this. This is how we do it, okay? Now, the thing is, it doesn't matter what I put up here. Here's a quote. I wish I knew who it was by. Some of you business people can tell me. But what the quote says is that strategy is great, but culture eats strategy for breakfast. And so if our culture is built around kind of doing your church thing, checking your box, throwing your offering in the box back there, and kind of moving on, then it doesn't matter what we put here, because if that's still the way that you define church, then this strategy doesn't really matter. If you define church by just showing up and doing your thing, serving your time and moving on, none of this really matters. That's not what our strategy is built around. Our strategy is built around relationships where people are committed to one another. And so what you see here is kind of how we lay this out. You've got Front Porch Community at the top. Here on the left, you've got the outsiders, those not a part of Providence, whatever you want to call them. There's not a good name to call them, but what we mean by that is just people that aren't a part of Providence. Christians, non-Christians. Long-time believers, new believers, whatever, just people not a part of Providence. How do they get to be a part of Providence? They show up here on Sunday mornings. They get to know some of you, and you invite them to come on Sunday mornings, or you invite them to be a part of your Front Porch Community and come grill out a little bit, or you invite them to some event, to Breakfast and Bullets, or to the Women's Retreat, or something like that, and they get plugged in, and they get to know us as a church. That's the second stage of our strategy. Front Porch Communities is a place where you really get to know people. If you're not in a Front Porch Community, you need to be. This is where friendships are formed, where you get to hang out with people, where you get to know people and they get to know you. Come be a part of one. You can come be at my house tonight. We're going to have wings and a slip and slide. You don't have to get on the slip and slide. That'll be more for your kids. But come hang out with us. Other groups are going to be meeting throughout, and we'll have a more detailed schedule we can give you now that fall is here, and people are going to be a little bit more, and people are going to be a little bit more able to schedule things because you're not on vacations and stuff. Find a group and be a part of a group. If you don't have a group, come talk to me, and I'll get you plugged into one. We have groups in Morristown, in Dandridge, in Jeff City. Come be a part of a group. And then from there, go and be in a discipleship group. Go to that next stage, that place where you can be discipled, where you can study the Word with others, where you can pray with others, where you can truly have God's Word pressed into what's going on in your life. This is how we do it. This is how God has kind of built us as a church. It's incredibly simple. It's incredibly under-programmed, and that's very intentional. Because we want you to be engaged in the community. We want you coaching soccer and coaching basketball, and we want you in the PTO, and we want you involved in people's lives, not at church programs. The only programs we give you are the ones we think are important, and that's getting to know others and studying the Word of God with them. That's who we are as a church. And what I'm asking for you to do this morning is to consider where you are in this story that we are writing as a church. You should have gotten a membership covenant. you should have gotten one of these. And here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do this morning. Now, the way that we laid this out is that whenever we voted to become a new church, everybody's membership transfers over. If you were a member, then you are still a member, and that's the way that we want to keep that. But there's this awesome story in the book of Nehemiah. I almost went there and told the story of Nehemiah, but as you can tell by time, I really wouldn't have had time to do that. But there's this awesome story in the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah gets a group of people together. I'm really going to not do justice to his story, but he gets a group of people together, rebuilds the wall around Jerusalem, has everyone committed to this purpose despite all kinds of outside forces that would see that it wouldn't work. They get it built, and then when it's built, it's kind of like, okay, now what? What do we do now? And somewhere there in Nehemiah, I don't know if it's chapter 10, chapter 11, there's an amazing little story where you would probably just read right by it and not even realize what's going on because it's this massive list of names. Well, this list of names is there because it's a group of people that are getting together to sign a covenant and to say what happened to us back in the past, we're going to make sure that we commit to God now. And so that going forward, we will be faithful. Ezra stands up and reads the law. They repent. They corporately confess their sin. And then they say, I'm committed to this city, to this people, and to our God. And they make a very public show of it. That's why the names are listed in the book of Nehemiah. Because they make a covenant together publicly. To say, I'm committed to you, and I want you to be committed to me. That's exactly what we do as a church. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask this morning, for those of you that have been a part of Providence, that have been members for a long time, I'm going to ask that you renew that covenant today. I'm going to ask that you sign this and that you fill this out and say, I am a member and I want to be a member, and I am covenanting with all of you. And we're going to have these out for a couple of weeks because I want this to be everybody. I want everybody in on this 100%. And so I want you to renew that covenant. There's others of you that have been with Providence for a long time. And for whatever reason, you haven't made that covenant. You've been here, you call yourself a part of Providence. Providence is your home, but you've not made that covenant. I'm asking you this morning to make that covenant, to become a member of Providence, and to say, I'm all in with this, guys. I'm a part of this. If you've not been through Intro to Providence, you still have to go through Intro to Providence to be able to be a member. But if you have been through it, you can do this. And if you've not been through it, you can still sign this covenant. We just want you to go through and make sure that we're all on the same page with things. But that's what I'm asking for this morning, that you'll sign this covenant and that you will be a part of Providence Church. I think this is where I'm going to end. Guys, I had another video, but I think I'm going to hold off on that one. We'll be able to show it in a few weeks just for time. I think that I'm going to end here. But this is what I'm asking for you guys. That the story of Providence Church will be your story. When I talk about Providence Church, I hope you hear me. I am not talking about some random organization. I'm not talking about some nebulous thing that you can kind of see on a piece of paper. When I say Providence Church, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about the person sitting next to you. That is Providence Church. And I'm asking you to commit and to be a part, to sign the covenant that you will support others, and that your story will be a part of our story, and that going forward, we will be making disciples together. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this group of people in this room. For these people that would show up on a Sunday morning in the midst of the craziness of school starting and all that goes on as we go into the fall, they would show up here to be able to be with one another, to sing songs and to study your word. But I thank you that you love us enough to bring us together. That you don't let us live life alone. But instead, you set it up so that we would be with one another, to challenge one another, to hold each other accountable, so that we would love you more. Father, I pray for Providence Church that we will make disciples, that we will be faithful disciples. It's in Christ's name we pray.